This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
The prize.
To hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the D Show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
So yeah, you have no boots.
No.
You have no gloves.
No.
You have no hat.
No.
You have no scarf.
No.
You have no scraper.
No.
How long have you lived in Michigan?
All my life.
You, sir, are an idiot.
I don't care.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT and the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hello, everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team it. Should I keep going, or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT and the D Comics.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up?
Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
And live from Podcast Detroit, this is the IT in the D Show. It's Monday, December 7th, and this is episode 121. This is Bob the Sales Guy here with Dave the Geek. Nuri, the FNG, is on location. Where the heck is he this week?
Allegedly business, again. You know him. He's got a business trip. I can't make the show. Who knows?
I trust nothing of what he says to us. Find us online, itandthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebook /itandthed and follow us on the Twitters /itandthed. And do us a favor already. If you're on iTunes, leave us a review. I think we just hit 15 million listens to the show, and I think we have 6 reviews. And to me, unacceptable. Do us a favor to mark your calendars. This Thursday, December 10th, is our annual toy drive. We're going to be at Falling Down Brewery in Warren, Michigan on 10 and DeQuinder. We are collecting toys for Operation Kid Equip.
And money.
And money.
You can bring money.
We're making sure that kids that aren't going to have a good Christmas have a great Christmas, or at least a mildly good one.
Or whatever they celebrate, happy that.
Happy that. We're going to make Christmas cards. happy that because it's all we're PC culture. You know, I forgot we're broadcasting live from our safe place.
We're PC, bro.
Right. And not only that, we're 10 days away from Star Wars, man.
I know. That's next Thursday.
I know.
I'm not gonna lie. I've been trying to keep it under wraps, just because like I'm trying to remember the lessons of Episode One. Like I remember all the hype and the buildup and how excited I was, and when the when that hit, and the dark and the screen and the gold and the man, I had a nerdgasm right then and there, and then Jar Jar happened, and Jake Lloyd happened. And we all know what happened.
And then you bought Jake Lloyd t-shirts. And you bought Jar Jar t-shirts.
And lit them all on fire.
Right.
And burned them in effigy. So I'm trying to remember that and not get too over the top. But, man, like all the trailers and the theories, and I mean, it's sucking me right back in. And I can't. I want it to be next Thursday.
Which
is apparently a national holiday. Because, by the way, there will be no live shows here. Next Thursday, because every show is like, yeah, I'm not going to be because it's Star Wars.
When will then be now?
Right.
Soon. But hey, I'd be remiss if I did not introduce, we have two awesome guests. Segment two, I don't know how we pulled this one off. We're lucky enough to be joined by Leo Barella, who's the CTO of Blue Cross Blue Shield in Michigan. I don't know if somebody has pictures from someone.
Well, we bamboozled them a little bit. I mean, you know, we came to our pink slip party with like, you know, 1,000 people, so we looked impressive.
Right? Oh, you don't know us very well. But Leo, thank you for hanging out with us. We look forward to speaking with you in the second segment. And then we got Stephanie here, who we met at FantasticCon, who runs MasterPlot Comics, and we had fun with you at FantasticCon, and we sure segment three will be a blast, and we appreciate you coming down from downriver to hang out with us here in Ferndale.
So wait, does that mean she came upriver?
Upriver, yeah.
Is that how that works?
I came up the river to join you guys.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Right.
That's amazing.
By gondola. So I'm gonna segue for just a little sec, because today is, you know, something of an anniversary for me. Today, you know, so today was, so, you know, December 7th is a day that will always, you know, forever live in infamy for, you know, Pearl Harbor and all that stuff. But so December 7th, 1995, so 20 years ago today.
It should be like sappy piano music playing right now.
Yeah, no. There was a shiny, actually I was neither shiny nor happy, but I was a geek living down in D.C., had gotten like just broken up, a horrible relationship. I was like the depressed geek. I was binge drinking. I was trying to forget Michelle. I was trying to get through all that stuff. And I hopped on to CompuServe. I logged on to CompuServe and hopped into the sci-fi fantasy forum and found people discussing Star Wars, which brings us right back to the opening.
You were a geek.
I absolutely was. And started talking Star Wars.
And properties of Star Wars.
And properties of it. It was demented and sad, but social. Which, you know, that, and that's what started the chain of events. Like, so for those who don't know, you know, so 18 days later, what would rapidly after that become my first wife, wound up driving from here in Michigan down to D.C. to come visit me because, you know, I logged in, I posted messages made me laugh, yada, yada, haha, you know, chat windows and then phone calls and then 3 and 4 hour phone calls. And then she just called me on Christmas Day and was like, hey, this is stupid. We get along. And I was like, oh, well, where are you? She's like, I'm in Ohio. I was like, well, don't you live in Michigan? She's like, yeah, I'm on my way to visit you. I was like, oh, that's quaint. So yeah, but so that's what led to the chain of that started the chain of events that led to me moving out here in Michigan in March of '96, and they say everything happens for a reason. So like it's one of those, you know, even in the darkest depths of the bottom of many, many Jack Daniels bottles that I was in, there was something there that, you know, even though that didn't work out, because you'll notice I said first one.
IT in the DC just doesn't have the same ring to it. I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, no. But no, so I mean, it's funny looking back at, you know, how much has evolved and changed over the past 20 years, you know, because that, I mean, CompuServe was the whip back then. I mean, it was dial-up BBSs. That was all you had. And now here we are running a networking group, you know, about websites, and we're going to talk healthcare IT and robots and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Back when that was your age, I had a Commodore 64 with a 300 baud modem, and I liked it.
It
It was good.
You were crazy kids today.
Met a girl on CompuServe in the Star Wars forum. Has that story ever been? That's got to be like a million people met on Match.com. One person met on CompuServe in a Star Wars forum.
That's my hipster moment. I did it way before it was cool.
No, you're the only one. It's not a hipster.
Your singularity is what he's trying to say.
Because, I mean, let's be real. I mean, it was 1995. So, I mean, it was like that. Like, you couldn't, there was no like, hey, email me a pic to see what you look. I mean, it was like, because, I mean, you were waiting like 37 minutes for a picture to load.
You would just see like the top of the head and it was slowly
And then your modem would cut out.
Yeah.
And you'd get like the weird, you're like, well, wait, is she Quasimodo? Or like, did I have a rendering issue with it? Yeah. So yeah, but that's, so yeah, 20 years ago today, I had an awe moment this morning.
It's like I met her at All You Can Eat Pizza Day at Joey's. I'm just trying to think of a bad analogy of like no one, like I met a girl there. Like, no, there's a girl there. Like, are you kidding me? So something weird happened this week. And you know, we always talk about when we take our kids to like the little stupid recitals. We call them stupid, right. But we love them because they're kids. And when we go to like concerts, what do you see in front of you? 9 times out of 10 is someone holding up their GD cell phone.
Or iPad,
taking a movie. They're not, you know, and from one of our shows, Michael Mode, he was talking about on his show. It's like, please just enjoy the moment. Like, why do you have to live?
Because you're not.
Because you're never going to watch it again.
Yeah, like, you're never going to watch it. And so you really missed it.
Right, you missed it. But like, you can post it on Facebook and say, look where I was at. Is that the only? But Dave Chappelle is setting a standard. I don't know if it's going to backfire on him or not. But what's the thing he's using?
Yonder.
He's using Yonder.
And they're basically a mini Faraday cage case. I mean, it's – and if you want to go to Dave Chappelle's shows, I believe it's Chicago.
Yeah.
When you get there, before they will let you go to your seats, you have to hand over your cell phone. They will put it in one of these Yonder cases and lock it and give it back to you. And then if you want to use your phone, you must come out to the lobby. And they will unlock it for you and give you your phone. I get it, but that, like, number one, that's going to slow things down immensely, and it's going to seriously piss people off.
It's going to be worse than line at Ford Field for doing gun checks.
Well, because don't get me wrong, like, dude, I saw Chappelle live, you know, maybe like 8-9 years ago, you know, before he had the meltdown, and he, dude, like, he was great and all, but he did like a 5.5-hour show, and because he just kept riffing and going and like. 80% of it wasn't even funny, and like at hour four, you're like, or actually, like hour three, you're like, Dave, wrap it up.
I heard he won't come to Detroit anymore because the last time he was here, like he got mad.
He got heckled.
Because everybody kept yelling catchphrases, and he didn't want to play the hits. And it's like, well, you can't have it both ways. But here's the thing, like, I don't know. When I go to a concert or a sporting event, I like to take one or two pictures, right? Or like a 10-second video clip, and then put my phone away, and I'm pretty much done.
Yeah.
Then at halftime, I'll pull it out again. Hey, is somebody here?
Yeah.
Like, you always check in on Facebook, and you meet. Like last Pistons game, I was at opening day. I ran into like 6 friends because I checked in. They checked in. Yeah. Like, hey, what section are you in? And we met up for a beer at halftime. Like that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm like, he's kind of taken away. You know that which should be. I'm not going to sit there with my hand over my head with videotape and the whole damn thing. That's stupid.
Maybe is the wrong way to look at it. It's that which is now. I mean, maybe from Chappelle's point of view, that which should be is what it used to be, which is you are sitting your ass in the seat and paying attention to what's going on up on stage, and you're not, you know, playing Clash of Clans or checking the latest Reddit threads.
I paid $120 for a ticket. If I want to sit there with my eyes closed and burp, I will do that. Like, no, he got my money? What he wants me to...
It's all about the artistic integrity.
Oh, stop. He wants me to Bob, tell me that third joke he said in the second hour. Like, I don't know. Like, did I have fun? Yes.
Yeah.
So here's where it gets interesting and why I keep saying, like, I hate the way gaming is going because you can't just buy a game. Like, remember the old Nintendo? You plug it in, you play your game, you stop when you're
done.
Maybe
you got to pull it out and blow on it every now and then and put it back in. But by and large, yeah.
Conspiracy theory is whether or not that was actually effective, but I'll digress. but, like, now you have to, like, the whole downloadable content, you got to play online multiplayer, and it just destroys gaming.
Yeah.
Why did Office...
365.
Why? Maybe, Leo, if you want to jump in on this too. Why in the hell does that need to be a cloud app when it was perfectly fine residing on my machine of choice? I mean, everyone had it. It was ubiquitous.
Well, it did increasingly take up more and more disk space with every release. But disk space has gotten cheaper. My fund for the weekend, I wound up buying a new laptop. It's got a terabyte hard drive in it. And, oh, by the way, because I was backing up the old one that the kids spilled coffee on, I got a 4 terabyte external drive.
Well, the reason I bring this up is Office 365 had a huge outage for a long period of time.
But it was only in the Euro, it was only in England and the UK.
Don't care.
It didn't make news here in the US because it was just Europe.
But it can happen. But the point of the matter is, like, maybe I don't want to be on their internets when I'm doing my Word doc. What if I'm on an airplane?
Right.
And I want to do work. I can't now unless I have to buy the $30 Delta Go,
wireless.
Right.
Yeah.
And that never works.
No.
But again, why does the native apps that were, and it started with, Salesforce and Gmail. They started being like, that was like the origination of the cloud app. But to me, it's getting dumb. Like, why does Adobe, did they really, I know they wanted to go to an annuity subscription model, right, and get money, more money. But do they really need to? Photoshop doesn't need to be sitting in the cloud.
No. So, okay, now with this in mind, and I want to put it back into a personal context for you.
Oh, boy.
So this brings us right back to the conversation we were having about like 3 hours ago.
Oh, boy.
When you were saying, hey, it'd be really great if there was like, if the PCs in the studios had terminal services.
Yeah.
So that instead of standing up and walking the 4 feet
right.
from the engineer studio.
Right.
They would be able to terminal in.
Yeah,
that's how dumb that is.
Yes.
Okay. So that's yeah.
I mean, well, that's fine. It goes back to my Amazon thing. I don't want to drive to Meijer. I want it delivered to me.
Right.
Right. So the same thing. I don't want to walk over 4 feet into the other studio. I want a terminal server in to this one. Right. And why do I have to get up? Like,
had an interest. Actually, speaking of that, just a sidebar. Had an interesting conversation with people today about Uber and the potential threat that they exist as now for traditional delivery systems. So, Microsoft partnered up with them for the Madden launch.
Sure.
And, they had fleets of Ubers everywhere. And you could get a launch day delivery of the Madden game when it came out via their partnership with Uber. So, I mean, that's like, okay, so the post office is already taking hits left and right.
But see, I thought the post office, like everybody said they was taking hits, but I thought like they were complaining because like email is going to get rid of traditional mail, right? But they didn't think of shipping packaging. I don't think the revenues of the USPS have gone down. Maybe I'm wrong.
They have.
Okay.
If you look at their models over there, because the postal service was always supposed to be a for-profit entity.
Yeah. And Randy just corrected me on Twitter. You can work on Office 365 offline. So smack my hand for being a dupa again. Well, what else is new, right?
So end of topic then?
End of topic, yeah. I can't complain about it anymore.
Just speaking of online, this is a fascinating topic that I was really wanting to bring up. So Clementine Ford, very, very big on Facebook, Twitter, a few other platforms in the pro-feminist movement. And her Facebook page, unfortunately, is typically the Mos Eisley cantina when it comes to the comment section where, you will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy that are chiming in on this nonsense.
Worse than Free Press comment?
Dude, worse than Reddit.
In oh, my
cases.
God.
That's a problem.
And so she decided to up the ante. And a guy was particularly vile on one of her posts. And so she went to the guy's profile, saw where he worked, took screenshots of everything he wrote, and sent it to his place of employment. He no longer has a job.
Wow.
I kind of want to hug her right now. So, I feel like that is so amazing.
Well, and so, like, that's the funny part. And she got, this email from the hotel chain that the guy worked at and was like, you know what? Thank you for bringing this to our attention. No, that doesn't represent our values. Da-na-na-na. He no longer works here. And please post this for all of your followers to see. And so she did, which then led to an even more wretched hive of scum and villainy coming out of the woodwork with the, oh, well, now you just cost the guy his job and no, and you evil woman. Well, no, he cost him his job.
Yeah, he started at Chain of Command. Let's be perfectly clear.
Behind his computer and said, oh, I can say whatever I want, and I have no consequences. Yes, actions have consequences just because you're hiding in your little, you know, hobbit hole.
Or mom's basement, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Hobbit hole, mom's basement, you know.
No, but if you read Free Press comments, everything's fine when you have, like, the normal name with the profile picture. Get the pseudonym, and you know it's a pseudonym because it has a picture of whatever. And it's like, just God rotten. It's like, what are you, like, you know, what are you getting out of this? Like, and especially, and that's just generic topics about generic things. Like, this is like directed. I read some of the things people were writing about her. It's brutal. Dude,
it is. I mean, it's one of those things that make you realize that freedom of speech is not always necessarily a good thing, especially when it comes to, you know, the keyboard commandos and, you know, the internet courage and all that nonsense, because I do think more stuff like this should happen. I mean, and this is one of the, you know, we've you know, joked about some of the stuff that's happened in the past, like, you know, the I think it was like 6 months ago, girl got a job, posted on Twitter about haha, I BS'd my way through the entire interview, didn't realize company was already following her, job offer got rescinded before she ever started. So, I mean, it, like, stuff like, people need to understand that what you post online can absolutely ripple effect into your offline life.
Look what happened with you. You wrote a blog for here, and it got reposted, and they dug you up on LinkedIn and posted where you work.
Yeah, all because I wanted people to get involved and help each other. What an ass I was.
You're the worst.
But what I'm saying, unless you're completely off the grid, they're going to find you. So if you write something that, you know, and I remember we talked about this a while ago, like, I want to walk around Detroit one day and go to all the coffee houses with a Detroit Republican t-shirt. Not because I'm a Republican, because I want to see how many people just downright will hate me for a t-shirt, which to me is, like, again, the most ridiculous. Like, again, if you don't agree with her on her views, great.
Like, don't read her page. Like,
you know, I really disagree with you. Or, yeah, don't read.
You can have discourse without being vile.
But I don't have to hate you.
But can you on the internet? Like,
I have seen it happen. Very rarely, but yes, it can happen.
Yeah, I'd love to see that on Reddit. While I understand your point of view, I just slightly disagree. Let's be friends. Like, no.
Probably not.
I don't believe we're going to reach consensus on this, Phil. Why don't we table this and move on to another topic? Right.
You know, it would be nice, but...
But no, it's the internet.
Well, I'm sure Donald Trump is a charming man, but...
However, his fiscal plans don't seem to match up with...
Yeah, internet would suck at that. Let's be honest. No, but, you know, I'll be honest. Good for her. Pat on the back. High five, internet. However you want to do it. Like, again, like, death threats. Like, really? Really? Because you don't agree with somebody's, like, convictions and beliefs? Like, because that was always... I remember when... message forms back before, like, you'd post something, like, dude, just die already. Like, that's a normal.
Yeah, just kill yourself.
That's a normal.
That was like the knee jerk reaction on message boards from, like, the dawn.
Oh, yeah. You know, and now, like, Reddit, like, well, if you do that, it's a death threat. And, you know, you can't do that. It hurts people's feelings. the damn internet.
The internet's a dirty place. You know, you just have to try not to look at all of that stuff and.
I think the internet is truly in, like, its cranky, confused, like, adolescent teen years right now. It doesn't know what it wants to be when it grows up. It's got a lot of people pulling it in a lot of different directions. Can't really make up its own mind. And there's just a lot of new experiences out there that can be confusing.
You know what I just discovered?
That's a really good analogy, actually.
Pardon my naivety, and I'll get probably trashed on Twitter for being so stupid, but, like,
here in the room, whatever.
Right, whatever. But, like, I just realized, like, I just found out what a paid internet show was. Like, I didn't realize companies and, like, political pundits and whatnot will pay people to sit in a room for 10 hours to sway.
To go on Reddit.
And try to sway public opinion. Like, I just thought these were neckbeards in, you know, liberal colleges. No, these are people getting paid by, like, the Hillary Clinton Foundation or whoever, Trump or whoever, pick your politician.
Yeah, they all have them.
Right. Or it could be, like, a company because, the subreddit, conspiracy subreddit always does it. Like, watch as, like, this company will come to a defense, like, and it's so articulated, like, almost like a PR person wrote it, right? And you know, like, oh yeah, then some guy comes out and says, yeah, I was getting paid $12 an hour to follow around and write this stuff. And like, wait, that exists? Like, what?
My bubble's been shattered.
Well, no, there's an article that just came out now in Wired about propaganda bots.
Uh-huh.
Like, not just...
Which again, brings us right back to the South Park people are geniuses.
Yeah, no, they're... Yeah, it's the, yeah they're following...
Are. Have you been watching this season?
I've watched a couple episodes. I don't watch a lot of TV because okay, I'm busy, so but...
Go back and watch because this season is directly following the arc of Detroit.
It really?
Is absolutely. If I didn't know better, I'd swear those guys were living here.
It started with the Whole Foods being moved into Midtown.
Like that,
then they're going through.
Then
the town had a bad reputation, but Whole Foods will save us. So the Whole Foods moved in. Then you know the new condos come and the new. And
but they kept the crappy houses so they wouldn't purely gentrify the area,
right?
And then
and then they're bringing in the stuff about ads and how ads are getting like first there was you know ads on TV and well but then we learned about you know and then cable TV came along and you were supposed to be able to you paid for cable TV to not have ads but then. Ads made it there anyway, and then along came the, and then you know, humankind invented the TiVo, which you know let you get past ads. Then the internet and pop-ups, and it's all about how you know the evolution of the ad and how the ad's getting smarter and smarter. And now in the latest episodes, an ad has taken human form, and it's trying to, but now South Park because of the Whole Foods and all the other stuff. The series, the folks on this, you know, the characters are now thinking about moving out because it's getting too expensive to live there. So,
it makes a lot of sense.
So, one of the comments that I had on the topic of the internet before, you know, obviously I'm Italian, right?
No,
I'm faking it.
Really, I figured Georgia.
No, but actually, the use of social in Italy, I think actually found an application in politics where using the social network, people were actually able to elect individuals to actually be part of the parliament. And then whomever is part of this party can actually be in the parliament and actually vote basically live via Twitter. So basically these people are basically just representative of this social politics party, but people like you and I can actually just express their vote via Twitter live, you know, on the government. And so basically these representatives just vote whatever the Twitter.
Oh, that sounds like the worst idea ever.
Yeah. Hell on earth.
but imagine that, right? So now all of a sudden you actually have real-time control of an army of people that basically are on Twitter and using these individuals as part of the parliament to actually express their opinion, right? So it's
Wow.
Which again, it kind of defeats and regulates the entire government structure, right?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, the Wired article goes on with the propaganda bots that it's automated then.
And you can buy them for like $5 a day.
Right. And it'll formulate opinions based upon like it'll word association, thought or whatever,
yeah.
Like, you know, put the, you know, and then comply. Like go against or go for?
Yeah,
or,
it does. It does a word, you know, like a word pattern analysis, and says, right. Okay, this is what. And do you want me to be for or against this? And you pay it. Whoever runs them, you pay them like $5 a day, and they unleash their bots wherever you tell them to unleash them to go argue for or against whatever.
Yeah. I bet you I've had arguments with them at least 30 times the past 6 months. I'm not gonna lie, but Dave, I heard you're gonna quit your job.
I'm not. It's tempting. It's
the greatest job wreck in the history of
it's
Detroit.
It's taking a lot of self-control. It is the new Legoland that's opening up. They want a master builder.
Ooh.
That's the title, master. But and so you get paid to play with Legos.
That's living the dream right there. I'm telling you.
That's my daughter's dream. Yeah.
I just want those slippers so I don't step on them because I swear to God, I stepped on one last week and I thought I got shot with a 50 cal in my foot. I was in pain. Like I can't articulate the pain that I felt.
I've been there.
There's nothing worse than a Lego to the arch of the foot.
No, I got it right in the spot. And I'm like, I'm screaming, and I have a pretty good pain tolerance. I was like, what in the hell are you yelling? Like, Lego! But like, have you
seen? God, like, did you fall and break your leg? No.
No, but have you seen some of the stuff those guys can, and gals can build?
Oh, it's crazy.
Like the Ford Explorer to scale. Like, if you ever go to Chicago on the Magnificent Mile, they have a like, oh, here's the John Hancock Tower. Like, 30-foot tall. Like, what?
Well, so, I mean, like, well, you can. I mean, like, so you can go buy, you know, Legos by the pound. You know, just, you know, the assorted sets and all that kind of stuff. That place that's up at
Macomb, yeah, yeah.
23 in Mound, I think it is, or 23 in Hayes. You know, they bulk purchase Legos. And then, like, and I didn't realize this until I was looking into the story. They publish books where, like, and it's these master builders that, you know, they get together and they're like, here's all the wacky, crazy stuff I've built, and here's how you can build it too.
Dude, if you told me, Bob, I'll give you $1,500 right now if you finish the Millennium Falcon by next week, I'll be like, no. Or I'll go on Craigslist and have somebody else do it for me. I'll give him $500. I can't do it. I have to, like, you're a better man than me. I don't have the patience. I don't have the wherewithal. Like, I'll put four blocks together and go, I'm done. What else? Like, or ADHD, whatever.
The kids and I will sit there and, like, just build stuff forever.
I'm not sure what's more insane, to kind of, you know, build this gigantic structure with Lego or documenting how to build it.
That's the thing, because we all know how much IT, know how much documentation sucks. Can you imagine documenting the building of a Lego? Yeah.
But hey, we are going to jump up against a quick break. We're going to be back. Leo Borella, the CTO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, should be a great conversation. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back, segment two, live from Podcast Detroit. This is the IT in the D show. We're sitting here in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, always here with Dave the Geek. Nuri, the FNG, said he's in Cambodia on Twitter. I don't know if I believe that or not. He probably is, though. Hey, do us a favor. Find us online, itinthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebook. Give us a follow on the Twitter /ITinTheD. And like I said, if you're on iTunes, do us a favor. Leave us a review. It would be greatly appreciated because we have like seven. That's I don't get it. Mark down your calendars. Thursday, December 10th, we're going to be at Falling Down Brewery.
That's this Thursday.
This. Not just the 10th. It's this Thursday. Falling Down Brewery, 10 into Quinder, Operation Kid Equip, Toy Drive. 100% of the proceeds are going to charity.
And they're a 501c3, so everything is tax deductible.
And we're not the middleman. It's all going directly to him.
They'll be there.
Right. So, just like last year, collecting toys, collecting dollars. If you got any, doesn't matter. Just trying to give some kids a good Christmas.
Well, and we're going to have Kevin Wilson there, a good musician. He does a great acoustic guitar 80s set. That'll be phenomenal. I'm sure we'll have trinkets, trash, giveaways, all kinds of fun stuff going on. So, yeah.
Speaking of Christmas, holiday season's here. I can't believe it. Like, knowing that I had to put in my PTO request for the holidays has given me the ticks. And now I know. Now I got to figure out what I'm going to buy everyone. If now we got Secret Santas, we have to do stuff for work. Do us a favor. We just got the holiday kits from Harry's, and they are phenomenal. Go to harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S. Check out their shaving sets. They have a great gift box. Dave and I just got one with a copper razor, some face wash, some razors.
I had to go buy another one because my wife stole that one from
me. Nice.
This is one of those things where, like, this is not BS. This is not ad speak. Like, seriously, like, this is a product that we use. And for the quality, they're ridiculously cheap. I've bought them for the brothers-in-law. I bought them for friends. It's a great product.
The travel kit, like, I traveled with a travel kit for the first time when I went to Dallas last week. It was money. Literally, it feels like Loot Crate when this thing showed up. Like, I didn't want to throw away the box it came in. It's like the Shinola box, right, that I got.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I actually kept that, and it's like, I wanted to keep this. But if you have any gifts, Secret Santas, like you might think giving a shaving kit away is kind of goofy, but
thank you.
Trust me, they'll thank you. The starter kits are starting at $15. If you use discount code, IT.
There's still no Q in that word.
IT and the D 5. That's IT and the D lowercase, the number 5. You'll get $5 off. Free shipping. If you order before December 10th, you're getting free shipping. If you order before December 18th, so if you miss the 10th and you order the week after, you're going to get economy shipping, but you'll still get it for Christmas.
Nice.
So Harry's.com, H-A-R-Y-S, discount code ITND, the number 5.com. They got some phenomenal gift packs. And you trust me, you won't be disappointed. It's a phenomenal product. I don't know if I should say this or not. I had a nice little chat with one of the founders on Friday. I thought I was going to be in trouble and he was going to yell at me, but we had a nice conversation. He thanked us for our partnership. So that was very cool, and they're a great company. And
yeah.
Without further ado, like I said, I don't know how we swindled this one or pulled this one off. I don't think he knew what he was getting into, but we have live in studio Leo Barella, the CTO of Blue Cross Blue Shield in Michigan. Really appreciate you coming and spending some time with us.
I love being here.
Good, good.
You guys are great.
Thank you.
And by the way, just based on these razors that you guys bought, you look great. Your shave is like perfect.
I missed this part on my chin, but everything else, everything else looks good. Yeah.
So, Leo, I mean, so you, there's obviously so much going on in the world of IT and healthcare right now. So, the CTO of Blue Cross Blue Shield, I mean, you've got to be thinking of a million different things. So, I mean, like, what's going on now? Like, what do you see is going on now in the world of healthcare IT? And what's kind of on the horizon that people like us aren't thinking about yet?
Well, so healthcare in general is a growing market. I don't know if you know, but the investment that that people are making in healthcare is unparalleled, in history. And people start to realize that as the cost of healthcare is going up, then technology needs to be deployed to be able to actually maintain the cost of healthcare down. So
right.
you actually see that there are a variety of different companies.
Well, do we need a whole lot more technology?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And technology is everywhere, right? So there is not one market that is not being touched by technology. And especially for electronics in general are becoming more and more part of the healthcare system as you actually start to miniaturize devices that were only available in the doctor's office and now they're available in your own home.
Right.
People start to actually, again, go to the store. You go I cannot mention any brand names, but
right.
If you go to an electronic store, you can actually buy now devices that, again, you would want set to go to a doctor's office in
right.
order to actually take care of yourself. And so that there are a ton of devices that you can buy for less than $50 that can give you like an accurate reading on some of your health conditions.
But not only that, I mean, it's just from a personal experience story, close enough to personal. So my wife was ridiculously sick the end of last week. And, I was at the office, couldn't get home. She didn't feel like it was a good idea for her to be driving. Her main doctor's office was closed. So she called up and was like, hey, so doctor's office is closed. I told her, like, catch an Uber or something.
Yeah.
She's like, so what am I supposed to do now? And they said, well, we do have this app,
absolutely.
Where you could get a virtual doctor visit.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, she installed this app. Logged in, essentially Skype or yep. WebEx,
right.
And had a virtual doctor's visit. And they had her, open up and say, with the, camera pointed down her throat and, had her feel here. And, is it worse or better when you do this? And at the end of it, wrote her a script that I picked up on the way home. And ta-da, she didn't have to go to the doctor. And it was standard copay.
That's correct.
That's phenomenal.
Amazing.
Yeah, and that is actually what, mobile is actually now doing to any industry where people don't want to move to whatever the service is, but they can actually access the service from their
right.
phone, right? So Amazon, of course, is the beginning of that phenomenon where
right.
basically people don't go to stores. Or if you do go to the store, you go to the store to kind of see what you're going to then eventually buy on Amazon.
Right.
But so is for healthcare. And if you're actually looking at how social is allowing people to actually score services, right? So now I actually go to the restaurant, I give the restaurant 5 stars, I write my friends that basically had a great experience. you can imagine that that is actually going to transform also how people will access eventually virtual services like the one that your wife has access.
Right.
You might not actually get the same doctor, but the service is actually measured in ways that where the quality is going to be maintained, you know, fairly high.
Right.
And again, you can now actually access the doctor anywhere you are. Anytime you want.
Oh, yeah, and it's a 24 – apparently it's a 24-7 service. It's – and it is. It's global. I mean, you know, it may not even be – it might not have even been a doctor in Michigan that you talked to.
Yeah, and quite frankly, even at Blue Cross, right, many people, especially people with young children, right, don't know exactly, you know, what to do if you're actually in a moment of crisis. And so most people actually go to the ER.
Right.
And now the ER is very expensive both for the person that is actually taking people to the ER and also for – your insurance company.
So right.
It's much better now to actually have access to a doctor right away in the palm of your hands that can actually see your child, you know, screaming or whatever they're actually doing. And they can actually start making recommendations that are more, you know, home remedies per se. And then if the thing's actually progressing, then basically you might actually be advised to actually go to like an urgent care facility
right.
instead of actually having to go to the ER.
Well, I'm sure they'd rather have that than have, you know, Anita's of the world going on WebMD and going, oh, I must have.
Oh, my God, I have Ebola.
Right. And then rushing to ER and saying, I have Ebola.
Well, not only that, but I mean, I can see where, I mean, I'm sure you went through this, you know, just like, you know, so especially with the first kid. But by the time you get the second kid, you're not as paranoid. But like, you know, the first kid, every sniffle, every sneeze, every whatever, you're paranoid.
Exactly.
And there are a lot of unnecessary trips to the doctor. So, I mean, if it just solving that
would be
incredible from a, hey, I'd love to go to the doctor's office. And when they tell me my appointment's at 11:15, it's actually at 11:15.
Right.
Because there's not a backlog of other stuff going on.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, going back to devices, most of the devices that you actually buy do come with some sort of an analytics service, right, where basically the device itself is actually recommending you something to do, if you actually are getting like a sleep monitor, and I don't know how many of you actually are using sleep monitors, but basically sleep monitors do tell you when it's actually the best time for you to actually go to bed. They understand exactly, you know, what you do when you're actually asleep, which again, you're completely unconscious, but then it actually gives you a recommendation as to what to change so that you can actually have a better sleep. Now, again, it is proven.
I totally need that.
Yeah, no, I do too.
Because I just never sleep. So,
so basically, when you actually start, listening to the recommendation of the analytics tool that is actually just looking at your own sleep pattern, right? And there are also other type of devices such as EKG devices.
Right.
So how much do you think an EKG device can cost? You know,
oh, you'd think tens of thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for $79 now you can actually have your own in your pocket. And if you actually experience any sort of heart condition, right, then now you can actually measure yourself anytime you want. And then there is actually an analytics script that basically tells you if you're okay or if you should actually go consult your physician. So this kind of opens up a whole new set of services for healthcare and healthcare IT, because the more sampling you can actually get from these devices, the more, as you know, through machine learning and and other type of technologies, computers will actually become a lot more accurate in basically.
Well, yeah, the bigger the data sample, the better. Yeah,
correct. And so there are basically computers now that even actually looking at a rash, like, you know, Google is actually now starting to do analytics on images of rashes, right? Where you can actually look at a rash, and Google can actually predict the type of bacteria that basically is infecting your skin, right? So
Google's becoming self-aware.
Yeah, Google's like this close to being Skynet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to say that, in the field of medicine, while before you were relying on the experience and the intuition of and the education of your doctor,
right.
Now, just based on imaging, computers can be a lot faster and a lot more precise in the diagnosis of an EKG or the diagnosis of a PET scan or any sort of imaging type of results.
So the question I come to then is the same one we always have about self-driving cars and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, with great power comes great responsibility and also liability. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, like what goes in? I mean, is like how big of a concern is that? Like, oh, well, the, you know, yeah, that little $79.99 EKG machine said I was fine. And then I dropped, you know, I had a coronary 2 hours later. I'm calling Sam Bernstein and getting the Bernstein advantage, and someone's getting sued.
Yeah, of course, you know, there's plenty of disclaimers that goes actually in the devices, of course. At the end, it's kind of really up to you to kind of really either trust the algorithm and the analytics and or go trust your doctor, right? So, of course, you know, doctors actually use a lot of these technologies themselves.
Right.
So it's not that you can actually go to a doctor's office. They do the x-rays, and then maybe there is a computer in the back that kind of confirms their diagnosis. So in a way, it's actually making them feel more comfortable about the diagnosis that they give you, right?
Chalk up in other terms and conditions that no one will read.
Yeah, exactly. Check, accept, and move on. Yeah. So, you know, you talk, though, about, you know, the whole, you know, data sample size and getting more data and analytics. So, like, how does that wrap around HIPAA? You know, and all the stuff about data privacy and patient privacy and...
Yeah. So that's actually a huge debate amongst everyone involved in the in the healthcare industry. There is a part of us, of course, that is concerned with privacy, specifically individuals and our members are concerned with their own privacy, and we actually are employing, of course, the best security systems we can, because of course we believe in the privacy of our members. There is also the component that is more about medicine and the development of cure and to any sort of type of event or any sort of conditions, where we can collaborate with institutions to kind of develop better diagnostics and better medicine. Now, the data in these cases is really de-identified, where basically, the privacy of our members is still maintained, yet we actually could use the information as other institutions. Like if you're actually talking about, for instance, the University of Michigan is now actually working on it's a $100 million program to improve healthcare in Michigan, right? And so the data that they're going to be using is data that is de-identified. But it will actually reveal patterns in the population, in zip codes, where there might be actually certain type of illnesses that are more, present than others. So that will actually really open up studies in terms of maybe wind patterns as to where, toxic fumes might be generated.
Okay, where was that when Aaron Brockovich
No, exactly. Right. So, yeah, there you go. But to say that there is a lot of good in being able to actually do analytics, and then it's up to the individual to wanting to really disclose their information to the benefit of science, right? And not necessarily my name and last name, but...
Yeah, I would assume it would be sanitized and anonymized a little bit.
Exactly.
But yeah.
So basically, I'm a male and I'm a certain age and what have you. So basically, they kind of use these parameters to determine the analytics and patterns, right? But definitely, in terms of privacy, then, we take privacy very seriously and we definitely are employing the best security we can to kind of really protect the identity and the information of our members.
Very cool. So what's next with Blue Cross? I mean, like what's on the horizon that, we don't need your trade secrets or anything, but, what's on the horizon that, is coming soon for Blue Cross Blue Shield members or, anybody like that?
Yeah. So, transparency is actually one of the activities that we're going to try to launch in the next, couple of years. And transparency is kind of really more about making sure that individuals like you and I understands where to actually get the best care possible at the lower price.
So okay.
Imagine actually having, I don't know if you actually use GasBuddy.
Yeah.
GasBuddy is like the application that basically you're driving around and you're kind of looking at gas prices.
Right, in your area.
Yeah. It's like, 1 mile away, it's $1.75, but 2 miles away, it's $1.65, and
you
want to take that extra mile, right? So something similar to that, where basically if you're trying to actually get an x-ray, you'll now know where in your neighborhood you can actually get the same type of x-rays at a lower price, right? Where, there might be physicians that actually charge you a little more, some physicians that charge you a little less, and
right.
You can actually compare that to their star rating, right, and decide, well, I'm going to spend a little more, but this guy actually has 5 stars rather than actually spending a little less.
Oh, man, Yelp for doctors. Can you even imagine?
Oh.
And this is not necessarily something that Blue Cross, this is like
from an industry perspective.
From an industry perspective, this is actually what's going to happen.
But that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you. Maybe we'll hit segment 3 and talk about it more. But if you look at healthcare versus any other industry, right? If I need a plumber to my home, yeah. I know he's $85 an hour, and I know parts are extra, and he's going to tell me what parts I need. Do you want to proceed, right? Healthcare is different because, like, for example, my daughter had a concussion at a soccer game, and then you get the bill 3 weeks later, and you have no, you know, obviously you have to take her to the emergency room, and then you get this bill, and you're like, oh my God, what was, you know? And you can't necessarily at this point in time, oh, I got to take my kid to ER. Let's go to, you know, doctor buddy and find out who's the cheap doctor. You know, so it's a paradox. It's a difficult decision to make, but you want the transparency, obviously, because, oh, let's sneak in a Tylenol for $75 and all that, you know.
Well, and you don't necessarily want to cheap out when it comes to your kid's concussion.
No.
Right. Good call.
Doesn't Walmart have a doctor? No, but do you understand what I'm saying, though?
But it is actually about creating that level of transparency mm-hmm. so that basically you can actually make the decision. Now, in case of emergency, of course, you need to go to the emergency room, and basically that's, you know, per se taken care of. But when you actually have a choice, when you and this is actually not something that we're actually driving within the industry ourselves, right? So consumers are actually driving the industry to go in that direction because, you know, as you can actually just Yelp your right. restaurant, you know, then basically people want to Yelp their doctors. And so since we are part of the industry, then basically we're going to try to actually create a lot more information that people can rely on in order to be able to actually pick the right physician at the moment of care.
No, I mean, that's good to know. I mean, it could be one of those things where, you know what, hey, I think I'm getting a sinus infection. It's not critical that I go see somebody right now. So, yeah, I mean, you might want to take that, you know, because, I mean, well, look at, I forget, but yeah, it would DMC, I think it is, that has the, you go to their website and it shows you the wait times.
Yeah.
You know, for, yeah. I mean, you take that step. Why not take the step to see?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
So, and if you're actually looking at other improvements, when you're now actually reserving, so, I don't know if what your experience is in actually making a reservation to go see your doctor for like a physical or whatever, right?
Horrible.
Yeah, there you go. but there are companies, you know, there are companies in Chicago, for instance, that basically allow you to have your own app, and you can actually, much like you're scheduling for an appointment for your haircut,
right?
Right. You can say, well, I'm just gonna come in for a physical. They give you like the availability of what doctor can actually see you and when. If it actually matches your schedule, you basically make your own reservation with your phone. You walk in, they already know your name. You don't have to wait, and you basically are getting a physical within the 45 minutes or 35 minutes that they actually schedule you for, and it is a lot more of a personal experience or personalized experience than in the past, right? So the industry, again, is changing because of the fact that consumers are now expecting a lot more for their dollars, right? And so that they're starting to actually really compare the experience, and really the experience becomes a deciding factor to actually go see one doctor versus another.
Well, I want my dentist, for example, they will hound me till the ends of hell and beyond to get my teeth cleaning every 6 months, but my doctor won't. But you think that it should be opposite, right? Like, I almost want my doctor saying, hey, you need to come in to get checked up.
Well, I guess here's my follow-up to that. Because so is healthcare the next IT from the standpoint of in the 80s, you know, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, your sysadmins, your doctors of the IT industry were the wizards in the back room. You didn't ask what happened in the back room. You didn't understand what happened in the back room. They just appeared in a puff of smoke and solved problems and then went away. That's kind of what the medical industry is for a lot of people too. And it seems like this is starting to blow away some of that smoke and make people understand it more.
Yeah, I think that honestly, the leveraging of data for healthcare analytics is really going to become the next big thing for our industry. Because doctors, again, will also rely on analytics and not just on their, you know, experience and, you know, knowledge and education. And so you'll actually see that, and we're also investing, you know, at Blue Cross to really produce these analytics for our doctors. So basically there are terms like population health management.
Right.
Population health management is where, again, we're going to try to actually drive analytics and actually define populations that can be you know, help through some sort of either, you know, holistic approach and or different type of, you know, medicine to be able to actually improve their health. And so, again, the use of analytics, the use of data, and now we're actually starting to collect a lot more information, like when you're going to the doctor. Most doctors now are inputting information into a computer, right?
Right.
A terminal server.
Yeah, tablet or something, yeah.
Yeah, so, but most of these doctors really don't have the capacities and even like the money to basically invest to actually do analytics on their own. So they're actually relying on separate companies, including our own, to actually run analytics for them.
And okay.
So because of the fact that we actually manage a population of several millions of of members, and
right.
We actually have access to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association network, we're actually able to run analytics on about 150 million lives, right? So when you're actually doing that, you can really determine if, for instance, a certain population is being managed correctly compared to others, and you can actually start to look at different providers and start comparing which one are the providers that are prescribing medicine that eventually leads to care versus providers that are prescribing medicine that doesn't lead to better results.
Right.
And connecting the two and saying, well, you know, we've learned from this practice that if you actually are treating someone with these conditions, this specific medicine is better than the one that you're actually using. Right. So we're actually trying to create this type of analytics so that we can actually help people that are actually showing up at the office. Now, we cannot prescribe directly as an insurance company.
Right.
But we're really helping providers to leverage our analytics to perform better care for our members.
Well, I mean, and I could even see where it would help from an analytics perspective. Like, hey, you doctor in our network in region Y, we're starting to see an uptick in X. Brace for it. Like, hey, there's a heavy duty flu outbreak happening in that area. There's whatever.
Yeah, and I can tell you that now we're actually starting to enter into the studies of pharmaceuticals. I don't know if you know, but basically not every pharmaceutical is really effective on every
individual. No.
Right? So imagine now your doctor prescribing you a medicine that can cost $15,000 per shot, right?
Right.
Now, if it cures your problem, then basically we're all happy. You're happy. Is happy, the doctor is happy, but if he doesn't, now all of a sudden you're actually spending $15,000 a shot. We're basically covering you for $15,000 a shot, and if there is really no result,
that's not doing anything for you.
So basically, the next big thing I think is really going to be around personalized medicine, where basically drugs will be prescribed to you knowingly that it will cause certain side effects, rather than actually reading the list of side effects, and you're like, well, I hope I'm not going to get
that. Oh, dude, that's horrible. The list of side effects that whip through the screen at the end of a commercial at 90,000 mile an hour. All I had was a headache. I don't need anal leakage and failure to eat, and I won't sleep for 9 days. And I got a headache. I'm good.
That's the joke in the house. Every pill commercial is like, may cause diarrhea. It's like the last one. It's like, quite a while.
Right, but imagine being able to actually. Being able to actually make that choice. So if you know that basically the pharmaceutical is going to be effective on you, maybe you don't mind actually one of these side effects, right?
Right.
But you probably but you want to make that choice, right?
Yeah.
You don't want for the pharmaceutical company to just try it out on you and say, well, if it works, great. If it doesn't work, then try something else, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to become a lot more specific. And again, with analytics, I really feel that the field of medicine is going to improve tremendously. So we haven't seen anything yet. So we're now actually decoding the genome. We can really understand what makes me, you, everyone actually different from each other. And so medicine is going to become very specific to who you are.
I never wanted to be a geek.
Okay, there you go.
I was a biochem. Yeah.
There you go.
But I interned at Genentech back in the day. So
yeah. So that's where the advancement is going to occur. And of course, at Blue Cross, we're going to try to kind of really keep up to the pace of technology.
Well, that was one of our first questions I had for you after you were describing to me what Blue Cross is doing. I go, well, do you even consider yourself a healthcare company more, or are you a tech company? And you look straight in the face. He's like, we're a technology company.
Yeah,
and it might be hard pill to swallow. No, pardon the pun. But I mean, do you consider yourselves a technology company, or is it just technology enables you to be a healthcare provider?
Yeah. So first of all, of course, you probably already know that we are the largest insurance company in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But what people might not know is we're also one of the largest IT employers in Michigan. One out of seven employees at Blue Cross is in IT. So we have about 1,000 folks that work in you know, in our IT department, and about 7,000 people, of course, you know, overall.
Should follow that math, bud.
You know,
yes.
But we are.
I'm good at math.
But you know, not too many people or not too many companies now can really exist without technology, right? And so the reason why I said that we are also a technology company is because of the fact that really through you know all these analytics that I've been talking
right.
about, right, would not be able to exist without technology. You know, we could, but it's really hard to actually crunch you know 150 million. You know, records.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to do that.
It actually makes sense.
Yeah, you're not going right? to do that with filing cabinets.
No, that's right. That's right. So basically, and so we need to actually keep up with the technology, with the latest technologies for analytics, because I think that the science of these analytics are really helping people's lives, right? So basically, our mission is to really kind of improve people's lives and making sure that not only our members, but in general, right, that we can actually improve the health of the people of Michigan.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I know we've already run longer than our normal segment. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you wanted to hit on?
No. This was like a great conversation. I really love being on the show.
So. Good.
Yeah. We will absolutely, if we haven't scared you off, we will absolutely want to have you back on here.
Good.
Yeah, we could talk all night.
But hey, we're going to take a quick break, and this is IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 3. This is the IT in the D Show live from Podcast Detroit. This is episode 121. We're hanging out in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy here with Dave the Geek. Nuri apparently is in Cambodia. Find us online, itinthed.com, and you can hit up all our social and do all that fun, happy stuff. But do us a favor, mark your calendars. Thursday, December 10th, Falling Down Beer Company. We owning the place. They closing it down for us. And we're having our toy drive for Operation Kid Equip. Bring some toys. Bring some, did I say wrapped last time?
No, unwrapped.
Unwrapped toys.
Unwrapped, yes.
Bring some,
not that we don't trust you, but we don't trust you.
Kids don't want cornbread packages?
No.
Stephanie almost spit out her pop.
I did.
But yeah, in 10 days to Star Wars.
Yeah. So hey, well, and we didn't let him leave, so we've still got Leo here because we're having a phenomenal conversation, and as always happens during the break, we realized something we probably should touch on a little bit. And so for Leo, for those who aren't in the know, that like aren't you know used to playing in with these roles, tell our audience. So what is a CTO, and what does a CTO of say a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan do?
Yeah, so the Chief Technology Officer role is more focused on transformation. You know, I kind of, you know, compared it to like a Chief Transformation Officer or a Chief, like, Think Different Officer. So it's someone that companies employ to when they're actually about to transform how they actually go about doing business. So it is usually a sign of a company that is going through a tremendous amount of transformation. And, you know, as you well know, the healthcare industry is going through a tremendous amount of transformation. And so we need to reframe, you know, and retool, you know, our IT infrastructure to be able to compete, you know, in our market. Now, in terms of the teams that I managed to execute the function of the CTO, I have one team that is focused on innovation. And that is actually dealing with
those are the people that have all the fun.
We can actually maybe have like a whole show on innovation, and,
right?
You know, to let you know exactly how, you know, what we're actually trying to do. Then there is a team that is actually responsible for strategies, specifically, you know, IT strategies, and these are not just IT strategies for IT. But everything that actually happens in my office, per se, is closely tied to the business. So we don't do anything for IT's sake. I mean, most of us are geeks. I mean, I started out as a geek, of course. But it is more about the dialogue with the business and educating them as to what technology can do for the business. Because we have great business folks, great business partners. And basically our role is to educate them as to how they can actually change what they do and really amplify the value that they provide to our members using technology. Then I have a team that is the architecture team. And so these are actually the folks that really design the solution. So once we actually have reached agreement through innovation and strategy, then we actually are creating the solution themselves. And so it's kind of like the solution architecture. I have the information or enterprise information management team, which is actually doing a lot of the analytics. So we're actually partnering with the business in actually crunching all these data
right.
that we've been talking about in the previous segment. And then I actually have a team that is really aligned to what we call healthcare value, which is all of these analytics that we talked about that we provide to the providers and hospitals, and for them to actually be able to provide better services to our clients. So again, in short, it is a role that is about transformation, and it's about really taking the company to our next step. And so we really are closely aligned with the strategy team of the enterprise. So they decide how and what Blue Cross Blue Shield will do in the next 3 to 5 years. And we're there to basically support their vision with technology solutions that are innovative and forward thinking.
So do you guys also have a CIO? So what's the difference in roles?
So the CIO is my boss, right?
Okay.
So I report to the CIO. His responsibility is also around, application support, application development, production support. So he actually has teams, of application developers. He has teams that do the production support and infrastructure support. He has teams that do project management. He's got a finance team. So his view is a lot broader than just my role. My role is purely transformational. And it's really focused on creating new capabilities to the enterprise.
So it almost sounds strategic versus tactical.
I wouldn't say that. So basically, the role of the CIO needs to also be strategic, but he's very much concerned with the day-to-day operation of IT and the reliability of our company.
Okay.
Yeah, not that I'm not. I am too. but my role is kind of making sure that the next generation of IT is going to be hopefully even more reliable than what we actually have today.
So how much, when you guys come up with your ideas or talk about the next wave of transformation, how much is homegrown versus collaborating with peer groups and other like Blue Crosses networks across the country? Do you do that?
That's actually really a great question. Not too many people know that Blue Cross Blue Shield is a national brand and that we actually resell the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association product in different states. So yes, we actually
that's one of those disclaimers on there. The Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan is an independent licensee of.
but that's a good point, right? So one of the strengths of Blue Cross is that we basically have multiple Blue Cross Blue Shield companies, and we actually get together mostly like twice a year to discuss specific topics. So we actually have like an architecture forum or an information management forum or an analytics forum. And so, all the Blue Cross Blue Shield actually get together to really discuss, how are they solving the problem, right? Which is actually different than national account players.
Right.
Because basically they have smart people, but it's one solution versus, we can actually leverage 26 different type of solutions and really pick the one that is best and then accelerate toward the direction that that specific company has taken. Mm-hmm. So it really allows us to network. So we have really close networks of individuals that are talking. I'm not saying on a daily basis, but the nice thing is that it's a non-competitive type of discussion, right? So basically, we're all working to help each other. And so, from the social network perspective,
right.
We're definitely trying to leverage that to create better IT solutions. So, yeah.
So, I mean, from a being a brand and being Blue Cross, we had Comcast in here, and obviously their PR is probably different, if not similar to yours. Is it nightmarish managing social, or is it very gentle? I mean, where is it in terms of being brash and, in terms of social?
Yeah, so I think that most of our social interactions are about wellness. So we believe in the wellness of our members. We believe that wellness is really a much better approach than care per se, right? So basically, if you take care of yourself, eventually, you don't get sick. It's very
right.
simple, right? So most of the information that you'll find on our social network is about making sure that our members can, be inspired to actually conduct a better type of, you know, life.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I can't really see myself going to, like, the BCBSM Facebook page and going, hey, I took a picture of this rash. Could you guys take a look at this?
There probably is some people.
There are people that do that. Yeah. Come on.
If you can think it, it happens. Like, trust me. Yeah. Probably every other day.
So, you know, you mentioned, so what is that, like, what is that IT roadmap, like, look like from a, like how far down the road? Because, I mean, I guess that's got to be one of the struggles is, you know, it's hard to say, okay, yeah, the next year or so, I pretty much know, I'm fairly confident in what's going to happen. Once you get 2 years out, yeah, I'm about 70% there. That 3 to 5 to 10 year range is where, you know, there could be radical shifts in technology. There's, you know, always disruption going on, that kind of stuff. So how do you balance that sort of thing?
Yeah, so basically, it is the execution in a bimodal or trimodal almost, you know, type of fashion, right? Where basically we are definitely trying to experiment with innovation and try to actually get to rapid results, mm-hmm. By doing fast prototyping and making sure that our, you know, client or customers can you know, feel what solutions we're actually about to develop. And then there is the more agile responding to market, responding to regulations, where we're trying to kind of really deploy based on certain dates and try to actually beat our competition. And then there is more designs that are kind of really more long lasting, and where we're basically the result doesn't necessarily actually appear next year. So we actually have different type of roadmaps and plans. Depending also on what part is actually what our competition is doing.
Right.
And part of it is also trying to make sure that we can stay ahead. And Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan is actually being viewed by many of the other blues as leading in, you know, in many areas of care. So, yeah.
Not bad to hear.
No. Not at all.
All right. Well, hey, Leo, again, thank you, you know, for sitting down. I mean, this has been very informative. Just from my opinion, it's been a very good conversation from my perspective. I hope you enjoyed yourself as well.
Loved it. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Awesome. So, hey, we're gonna take another quick break here. We are going to come back with Stephanie, who has been so incredibly patient with us to talk about Master Plot Comics. I'm so going to ask her about Drunk Dorks, whether she wants me to or not.
I absolutely want to ask you about that.
And so, yeah, we'll be back on the other side in just a few.
It's the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet, listen, Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back. Segment 4. This is the IT and the D show. We are live in Podcast Detroit here in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. It's Monday, December the 7th. Are you kidding me? Seriously, when it was June, like yesterday.
It does seem that way.
This is Bob, the sales guy, always hanging out with David Geek, Nuri, the FNGs in Cambodia. Find us. No, I'm not kidding either.
That's his story. He's sticking to it.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably in like Lake Orion. But, find us online, itthed.com, and find us all the social stuff. Follow us on the Instagrams and all that good, happy stuff. Don't forget, Thursday, December 10th, this Thursday, right? Not just December 10th, this Thursday.
This
right,
Thursday.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be at Falling Down Brewery for our annual toy drive. For Operation Kid Equip, bring some toys, bring some cash, have some laughs, and watch Dave get slapped.
Are we really going to do that again this year?
Yeah.
You're going to have to get me really, really drunk for that again this year.
It's not going
to
be hard. But hey, this segment of the IT and the D show is brought to you by our friends at Braintree. Mobile developers around the world have embraced their V.0 SDK as the easiest way to add secure mobile payments to their apps and websites. No matter what the payment type is, Braintree will accept it. Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, Venmo, credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, Amex, even Bitcoin. I gotta find out what this Bitcoin thing. If something new pops up, they will support it too.
All the kids are doing it.
Are they?
The kids can't afford to do Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's the same payment solution used by Uber, Airbnb, GitHub, Grubbable, so you know it scales. Integrating into your app is easy as inserting just a few lines of code. And if you have trouble, they will walk you through it. Just don't take our word for it. Try out their sandbox. See for yourself. Go to BraintreePayments.com. braintreepayments.com/IT. That's braintreepayments.com/IT.
Well done, Bob.
I did it. Neri's been doing that one lately, so I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna mess up.
All right, so hey, having waited patiently, we are now going to talk with Stephanie Menard. She is here. We met you a few weeks ago at the Chaos and Insanity that was Fantasticon.
Yeah.
That was like our first time getting a booth anywhere.
Ours too.
Really?
So, yeah. Firsties.
There you go. And it was interesting. And so, you know, we got to yakking and talking, and you guys came and hung out with us a little bit. So what is Master Plot Comics? I mean, obviously we know because we actually paid attention when you were talking to us. But for those who don't know,
speak for yourself. I'm kidding.
It's like, I don't remember anything.
Who are you again?
Yeah. Well, Master Plot Comics is a new publishing company. We started in July, actually. So we're
real new.
We're like babies. We're only 4 months old. So
you're like us with this network.
Yeah, kind of. And I was asked to be a partner within 2 months of joining them, which was amazing. Brian Lee Bird and Sarah Hollis are the original partners, and I was doing podcasts and articles for them, and they just decided to let me.
Apparently, you were killing it.
Yeah, apparently. Maybe I was just super nice and they were like, okay, we'll put some of the, you know, more responsibility on you.
Right. So
thanks.
Yeah. So now what does, I mean, obviously one would hope comics, but right. like what sort of titles, what kind of, like what genre does Master Plot tend to play in?
We're big into like horror stuff, like thrillers.
I had no idea that horror comics were such a thing.
They are. And when they're done really well, they're amazing.
Well, even like Walking Dead. Who knew that? I didn't know that was a comic before the show. Yeah. How many people that watch the show knew it was a comic?
Right.
You know.
I didn't. And now I'm reading the comics, and it's great because they're different from the show. So yeah. it's like a whole new experience with some of the same characters, but different stuff happens. Yep. It's very exciting.
Well, like, the problem is you're getting spoilers now from the people that read the comics, like, oh, Brick's going to lose his hand.
Well, but not necessarily. Daryl wasn't in the comic. I mean, that's a huge character on the show, wasn't a part of the comic at all. So, I mean, they've already diverged a few different times from
it. Said, like, three words the entire show. I don't know how he's such a big star.
Crossbow.
Exactly.
Crossbow.
Where are my arrows?
Arrows.
Oh, everybody loves them.
So, I mean, it seems like that's growing. You know, I don't want to call it a niche. I don't want to downplay it. But, I mean, it's like that's a growing genre that more and more people are looking for.
Absolutely. And we have a comic coming out called 100 Tears, which is based on a 2007 indie film that is about a clown. Yes, a clown.
So your favorite, Bob.
Yeah.
I'll buy you a comic.
Everybody loves a clown, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to buy it.
Yeah. And have nightmares forever.
See you there.
That's kind of the whole point. but we adapted it. Actually, my partners, they wrote it. They adapted it from the film. And we have our art director who's in Russia who did the art along with Robert Nugent, and they're both amazing. It's almost finished. I've seen almost all the pages, and they are like, they're beautiful, but they're horrifying. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like you can't look away even though it's just kind of disgusting, but like in a good way. I don't know. I love horror stuff, so maybe that's just me.
So it's like the guy at the bar when we were there with Neil the other day. It was horrifying, but we couldn't look away.
Like, oh, a train wreck?
Can we tell a story? The guy's standing up with plumber's butt, and like you couldn't, and I don't know how that works because he's standing up. And it's like, so I kept poking them. I'm like, look, look, look. And they kept looking. It was like looking at a bad horror movie. And they're like, quit making me look, because every time I would say look, they would go anywhere. Like, oh, Bob. Like,
So for those who don't know, like, oh, I don't know, say me, like, how long does a comic like that take to put together?
It really depends on the team and the timeline. With 100 Tears, we've been working on that for at least 2 months, and it's still not finished. So, but it's going to be ready for the first quarter. So okay. We're really looking forward to that. I'm working on a couple comics myself, and I just got my art team for my first comic, and I'm super pumped. And that's going to take about 3 months because I basically said this needs to be done by this date. If you can't do it, don't sign up.
And so now, you still make fun of the hang on, Dave. You still make fun of the tracers? Is that gone with chasing me? Or is that
you're a tracer?
No, nobody makes fun of them. They work so hard. They do such wonderful work. You can't make fun of them. I mean, they're amazing. Just
you still got to use the one liners. You're a tracer.
So now, like, are you taking this on? Like, are you going from, because again, stuff I didn't know. There are writers and then there are artists. Like, that's not the same person usually.
Yeah, there are some people that do both. Like Dan Doherty, he writes and he does a lot of his own art. I'm a writer. Don't ask me to draw because you're going to get a stick figure that looks not even like a stick figure. So it's like, it's the saddest thing of all time. But usually you have a team. You have a writer, or you can also have two writers. A lot of people do co-writing. You have an inker, a penciler, or sometimes they do both. You have a letterer, and then you have a colorist. So it really depends. Some people do multiple things. I prefer to have different people do different things because I like the way it comes out. It looks different, and you have a bunch of different styles come together.
Right.
And it gives you like a different perspective on it, I guess.
So is this still being done by hand? Or are you guys using digital?
It depends on who's working on it.
Okay.
There are people – most people do digital. That's kind of like the new wave. It's a lot easier. And I've seen they do breakdowns where you can watch people do it. They do videos. And you can watch them like pencil and then ink over something in like QuickTime. So it's like really fast. And it's amazing what you can do with these programs now. They used to have to do it by hand, but technology.
Right, I was just wondering how many people still to do it old school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It really just depends on the artist. There's so many different ways that people go about it. So I don't know. You have to ask them.
It's
I guess.
Not that different. I mean, yeah, you know,
Simpsons versus South Park.
You know. Well, or you know, you got your Java developers, your .NET developers, your graphics designers. It sounds like there's that same kind of parallel
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's personal preference, really.
So, okay. So, and we'll come back to Matt. So, talk to me about Drunk Dorks.
Well, Drunk Dorks is like my origin story. It's like my, you know, my Wolverine origin story. Me and three of my really good friends decided that we were going to just start a website and we were going to talk about all the nerdy stuff we wanted to talk about. And we started that about like 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And it was amazing. I still do it. It's still part of what I do. Not as frequently as I would like to, but
it's amazing how our hobbies fall by the wayside because life.
I know. Right? I could be knitting right now. What am I doing? but it's like my best friend of 17 years, Shim and Brett and Rico, we just pretty much talk about like pop culture stuff and comics. And movies and
I'm not buying that Shim and Brett and Rico are real people, are you?
They're pigments of my imagination.
It's like Menudo. Like hang out with Menudo.
but yeah, they are real people, I promise. I'm not that good at voices, so if you listen to our podcast,
live in Niagara Falls, you wouldn't know.
Exactly.
Canadian. Any one of them.
Canadian.
So is that a public website where that you're looking for people to go to and chime in on stuff?
Or? Yeah, actually, it's drunkdorks.com, and we've been, like I said, we've had a website, I think, for 2 years now, and we do articles and podcasts and videos and, I mean, pretty much anything you can think of, we do. So it's a lot of fun. We're just a bunch of huge nerds, and we're all very opinionated and... Sometimes we yell at each
geeks,
other.
That never happens.
No, no, no.
I know, right? Nobody
new?
Ever gets upset
new?
About anything.
Yeah.
You know, everybody just hugs and everything's great.
Right. So it's, yeah, how to offend people on the internet. Step one, post your opinion about anything. Step two, wait.
Right.
pretty much. So, yeah, that's where this career came from is we just decided to do something and – somebody saw my stuff and thought it was good, and they pulled me in. So
you didn't grow up thinking this is what you wanted to do. Like, what was the expectation of life that this has now taken over? Like I said, I never wanted to be a geek. I was gonna cure cancer. I was gonna biochem. That was what I wanted to get into, and then this happened.
Yeah, it's usually the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah,
you start off doing. one thing and then it rolls into something else. I'm actually doing, like, my day job is what I wanted to do when I grew up, is just helping people. I work for a nonprofit, and we help people who are developmentally disabled and mentally impaired get skills, vocational skills to
okay.
get jobs in the community. So they're not just, like, they're people and they deserve to live their dreams. And if they want to work somewhere or do something, that's what we help them do. So I do that by day. And then by night, I'm like a computer slave because I'm just like typing scripts and like doing press releases. And I'm just like, I need a nap. And I never get one except for today.
It's a Detroit hustle thing. I keep saying, you have your job and you have what you love to do, you know.
Exactly.
Not like I don't love my job. I do. But the passion projects, like everyone we talk to, everyone we bring in here, you know, I was joking, like everyone thought, like when I was DJing at the bars, that was my job. It's like, no, I have a job. This, I do this for fun.
Right.
You know, even that's what I kind of wake up to do this.
Absolutely. And the thing that you do for passion, I think, is a lot more rewarding. I mean, I love my job, but I've been writing since I was little and I've always wanted to be a writer. And this gives me that opportunity. So I'm very happy and, I mean, I do complain sometimes because sleep is good and I don't get a lot of it. But that's just
you could get one of those sleep monitors we were talking about.
I know. I need one of those, actually.
But honestly, like, here's what I'm afraid. Like, I would get one of those things and, like, my typical, like, 3 to 4 hours a night, like, I would wake up and look at it and be like, really? Like, that's all I was doing. Like, really?
Or would you see, like, a middle finger? Like, yeah. That's it.
The digital outline of it flipping me. Yeah.
Exactly. So there you go.
So what? Okay, so that blends into Masterplot Comics because, I mean, you know, similar genres and the same kind of interest. So then, what's next with Masterplot? I mean, you know, it sounds like it's a relatively small operation right now.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
are there delusions of grandeur? Like, are
you? Oh, absolutely, there are. Come on. I mean, anybody, you gotta dream big, right? You gotta dream big.
Somebody's got delusions of grandeur.
we have a lot of things in the works. We have a bunch of comics coming out in the first quarter. We have Psychopath, which is what I'm writing. It's two words, Psychopath, and it's a series. It's like a 3-issue series.
Okay.
That'll be spread out over the year. We also have The Infected, which is one of the comics I have nothing to
do with
it.
Those are the people posting the rashes on the Facebook page.
Yes,
Blue Cross,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. The app was made for that. that's coming out in January, and that's written by Chris Hartman, and the art's by Dave Mims, and his art is gorgeous. Like, it's unique.
Yes, I know. Mimsy, I know exactly where you're going. Yes. It's South Park reference. But yeah.
No problem.
So, I do, because I've gotten to know more artists and folks in the comic scene because of this and just going to cons and that kind of stuff. It seems like a lot of folks, like, do you guys launch Kickstarters to get stuff going? Because, I mean, like, is it, like, how does that project happen? Because I see a lot of indie folks that, you know, do a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter to, you know, to get their comic up and running. And, like, do they do that? Like, because, again, I don't know the process. Do they do that and then come to a Masterplot and say, hey, I have this and this bag of money, and I would like you guys to publish this for me? Like,
if somebody came at me with a bag of money, I'd be like, whatever you want, man. Whatever you want. You give me that bag of money, we'll do this. It really depends.
As Private Dancer begins playing in the background by 3.
Exactly. We personally, like, we have a lot of people who work for us that are funding their own projects. I'm funding my own project. I think Kickstarter is a great tool, and I recommend it for a lot of people. I personally don't have the time or the energy. I'd rather just pay my artists and get my book out. But Kickstarter is a really great tool. And basically what you would do is you would probably wait to do your Kickstarter after you got a publisher.
Okay.
If you're looking for a publisher, there's a lot of people who just want to do it on their own, which is great. I'm all for self-publishing. And a lot of times with publishing companies, they will help you with your Kickstarter. If you come to them with a book that's already done or mostly done and just needs like a few tweaks, then they'll take you in if they think it's good, and they'll help you with that. That's part of what Masterplot does as well.
Okay.
We've had a couple of really successful Kickstarters that we've just done. We have Corey Hampshire's Clash, which is going to be out, I think, in the first quarter. And Corey Hampshire, you probably don't know who he is, but he's...
I grew up in New Hampshire.
Okay. Well, it's not the same thing, but okay. It's a superhero book, but it's, like, way different than a superhero book. And he's kind of a big deal. I'm just going to say it. He's, like, you know, worked for the big two and, you know, he's... A fantastic
which I get. It's Marvel and DC. I follow that track.
Yeah, usually people, when you say the big two, they're like, okay, we know what you're talking about. So we have Judas Breed issue 2, which is coming out through us, and that was a book that was already done before it came to us, but he decided to publish it through us. So we look for fully formed stuff as opposed to, like, we don't really take scripts.
Hey, I've got this idea.
Oh my, okay. I don't want to be that person, but I got an email.
Please do. Please do.
I got an email from just like a random person, and it should have been probably like 50 paragraphs, but it was like 3. And it was somebody who, oh my God, I feel like the biggest jerk. He was like,
don't worry, nobody listens to this show. So.
Okay. He was just like, he's like, I want to get into writing and I don't really know how. I've been trying to get into comics. And he gave me like his entire script, but not in a script form. It was just him like writing it as he
just
was like,
very stream of consciousness.
Like he was talking to a person. And I couldn't even get. I was like, I dig your passion, kid, but you can't even...
Step one, formatting.
Thank you. See, I didn't even have to say it.
Step 2, question mark. Step 3, profit.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
So you're big in the horror genre. Are you watching American Horror Story?
Absolutely, I am.
That has been... Like, so I'm all about... Like, I don't know if it's the 80s child in me or not. I love a good montage.
Oh,
and they are killing it with these amazing... Music montages.
They've had some great music. The costumes this season are just gorgeous. And
it's starting to not make sense a little bit. but wow, is it entertaining.
This season is my second favorite season. The first one was my favorite. I loved it so much. And, you know, every other season was, like, good, but okay. Like, not great. I was surprised how much
I didn't hate Lady Gaga. Because, she's phenomenal in this thing, and I didn't think she was an actress, right?
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination. But it's weird because you find, like, oh, my God, that's the two-headed chick from the free Circus Freak Show one. Like, everyone, like, they repurpose the characters, and it almost takes, like, 4 episodes to, like, get your mindset out of what they were.
You're like, they're not this person anymore.
Right? Right?
I love it, though. I think it's great that they use these really good – I mean, they're so – their range is so – amazing, and that's how they can do this.
It needs to be on Showtime, though. It needs to be on Showtime. Just get it over with. Like they draw the line. I don't know if you watch it, Dave, or not. It's borderline like rated R stuff on FX. It's right there. Like, you know, and
they really do. They're like right on that line. It's like teetering. They're so close to just. Right. Falling over the other side.
It's like just go on Stars or something. Just, you know, be like Spartacus and just get it over with. Other than that, what's some of your favorites? What else do you watch on a normal?
Like TV shows?
No, just on the horror genre, comic stuff or like whatever.
Whatever. Well, my favorite horror movie is The Exorcist because I really don't feel like I have to explain that to anybody. Yeah.
Well, actually, let's make that question a little more pointed. So I know nothing about the horror comic genre. What do I go buy to take a look into it?
I would highly...
Other than, of course, anything from Master Plot Comics.
I would highly recommend Nailbiter.
Okay.
That is one that I follow that I absolutely love. It's captivating. The writing and the art and... Just everything about it is pretty much perfection. Outcast, which is being made into another show on AMC. It's the same.
Okay.
It's Robert Kirkman.
Okay, so same guy.
Yeah.
All right.
And they're doing a show, and I'm so pumped for it. So pumped. It's about possession, and this guy, his life is like plagued by people around him that keep getting possessed, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. Very, very good.
Wasn't that Seven with... Denzel, no, not Seven. What was the one with Denzel Washington?
Oh my God! Time is fallen. On my side.
Yeah, fallen.
Every time I think of that, I'm like, I just want to sing that song. I love that movie. It's so good. But yeah, those are the two. Okay. Tales of Mystery by
good old Dirk
Manning. Good old Dirk.
We've had him on our show.
So have I.
He's a great guy. We had a phenomenal conversation with him.
He's all right. Kidding. I love you.
Don't worry. He's not listening.
someone will post.
Find out. He has a network.
You know who's Randy? We'll go tell him. Because Randy's already apparently crossbows do not fire arrows. They fire bolts or quarrels.
Oh, whatever. Arrows give you quarrels.
So, all right. So, I mean, that's a good start. So, and then if I want to find out more about what Masterplot Comics has going on, like, where can I go find out more?
Masterplotcomics.com. You can find us on Facebook at Masterplot Comics. We have a Twitter, MPC.
Is that also Masterplot Comics? And no, it's not. So, yeah.
And, you know, if anybody has any questions, they can just email me. I love getting emails. I'm weird, right?
As long as there's formatting?
Yes. And, you know, and periods, what's your email commas, address? You know, like a little bit of...
An actual sentence structure?
Yeah, I enjoy that. It makes it a lot easier to read. So,
what's your email address?
Stephanie... at Masterplot Comics.
You spell Stephanie funny, though.
Stefani.
Yes.
Masterplotcomics.com.
Well, she didn't spell it funny.
No.
Parents spell it funny.
Parents spell it funny.
No, I spell it funny.
Oh.
My parents had nothing to do with that. It was a life choice, so.
We all make those.
You're like an M. Bradley. Like, you don't want to be called Michael anymore, so you go by M. Bradley.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You understand me. I like
that. I do. I was Robert. I decided to be Bob. You know,
he loves it when you call him Bobby.
Yeah. Indeed.
And Drunk Dorks is out at drunkdorks.com?
Yes. And we have a Facebook as well. Just go to Drunk Dorks and... yeah, that's, I mean...
And upcoming con shows, that kind of stuff we can find you at?
Ooh, we're going to be in Wizard World Vegas in March. That's our next...
Sounds like a biggie.
Yeah. I've been invited to a few, but I don't like driving in the winter. Okay. So I'm like, I think I'll wait.
It'll keep. Call me in the spring.
Yeah, and then I have a bunch. Actually, I'm going to have to put it up on the website. There's a bunch of places we're going to be next year that we weren't at this year because, obviously, Fantasticon was our first one.
Just gearing up halfway through the year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, right towards the end of con season, I'm like, okay, let's do
this. Perfect time to launch a company that's con specific.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Why not, you know? So, but we'll have that listed on our website so people know where they can find us. But we're located kind of all over the country, and some of our employees don't even live in the country. So we're kind of all over the place. So it'll mostly be me doing stuff in the, you know, the Northeast over here. And then Sarah and Brian will be doing stuff in the Midwest. So...
We're the Northeast?
No.
I feel like we're the Northeast.
No.
So again, grew up in New England, that's the Northeast.
Yes.
More Northeast, but
it's Northeaster.
Norther Easter.
Exactly.
So anything we didn't touch on that we should?
No, not really. I think we're good.
All right. So everything's out at masterplotcomics.com and drunkdorks.com. And Leo, again, thank you for hanging out. Everything is out at bcbsm.com, I believe.
Yeah, and if you actually want to know more about the IT, you know, area, then you need to actually go to miblutech.com.
miblutech. Okay.
miblutech.com.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's been a fun episode. Appreciate y'all for listening.
121.
We will see you next week for episode 100.
No, we will see everybody Thursday.
No,
Thursday.
We'll see them in person.
They will come. They will show Thursday.
Or listen to us next week. They'll see us Thursday. This has been the IT and the D Show. Appreciate it. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See ya.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run. The run.
Game over, man. It's game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the trees. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right. Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up. Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.